Bears Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio at Halisaw on this week's edition of Bears Talk. I'm Jeff Joniak, along with my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, the great Tom Thayer, joining us.
Yeah.
And the equally impressive AB, Alex Brown, Florida Gator, Chicago Bear. And I'm going to stop right there. I know you had other addresses, but you know, you're a bear.
Exactly.
You're a bear.
Exactly.
You got the bear. You got the bear lapel pin looking strong.
Yeah.
The funny thing about it is, and I say this about Tom all the time, as his years advance, and now he's on the other side of 50, so, you know, maybe I'll back it off a little bit. I always thought he would look like he was ready to play, okay? Alex Brown looks like he's ready to play still.
Oh, man.
You're a young man.
There's no gray, nothing. You know what? I don't feel too young, but, I mean, some days I feel a little better than other days, but, I don't know. I try to stay in shape. My wife really runs a lot. So I got to try to keep up with her. That's what I try to do.
Hey, seven-step drop and a slow offensive tackle, Alex could still play.
Yes, I think even in that situation, I think I can give you five or six plays. Yeah.
I've asked Tom often, could you line up one snap, cut somebody? He said, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
Absolutely.
Yeah, he can cut somebody in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah.
Let's dig into week one of the National Football League. It was bananas. I believe there were eight games decided with fourth quarter comebacks, six with 2 points or less, which is an NFL record, regardless of week of any year in the National Football League. What's that say about our game?
You know, I think there's a lot of suspicion going into week one because you kind of know what a young player, a first-year guy, a rookie, what they can do, how they're going to handle this situation. Mm-hmm. And you're not really in tune of game planning yet because you don't have anything on video to watch repeatedly like you will going into week two.
That's true. You don't have much to go on, but some of these guys, I mean, they play for a while. And some of these quarterbacks, you've seen them. It's on tape. I mean, you have what you need to stop them. It's just that I don't know how much effort is being put into some of these game plans, honestly, because you got 2 months, and that's the best you could come up with. I'm just not, I don't like it.
I call it the anything can happen week in the National Football League. You just
isn't that every
know.
Week? Isn't that every week?
True that. However, week one is the great unknown. I mean, that is like going on a vacation. You have no plan. I mean, you don't know really how to scout the opposition. It's all basics. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think every team's really difficult. And if you've got like the Bears with 40 new players in 2 years, you really don't know what to expect.
But, you know, you're getting ready to play the Houston Texans. They have a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have two rookie wide receivers. They got their offensive tackle positions in flux. And they have a center who's starting their first game. So you don't have a big body of work. You know what Bill O'Brien is about in terms of his past as a head coach. But you don't know how guys are going to perform. You get a big drop out of Will Fuller. But then you get a big touchdown catch out of them. So that's the suspicions that I'm talking about in your opponents.
See, and my thing is, offensive coordinators don't change. Defensive coordinators don't change. Their tendencies don't change. They still like to do what they like to do. And when they get players who fit in their system, not to change their system. So I think if you just look at the coordinators, you got a good idea.
Well, you got a good idea where Romeo Crennel is, though, because he had an excellent game plan, obviously. It was all about pressure. I mean, I don't know how many snaps they rushed, at least five. If you keep a back in or a chip, you know, that's inviting it again. And they had a sixth attacker that was just kind of lurking around. Create a lot of pressure, hit Jay 13 times.
Yeah, but, you know, at the beginning of the game when it was 0-0, I thought the Bears' offensive line was really in control of the pass rush. But then you start giving away points, and now they have the lead. They have the crowd noise at their advantage, and you can start throwing rushers at them because they're not worried about stopping the run. Mm-hmm. They're worried about exploding out of their stance, getting into the backfield.
Yeah, that's true. And you mentioned the 13 hits on Jay. I mean, I think that's what takes a toll. It's not the five sacks. I mean, some of the sacks, he just kind of got pulled down, but there was one hit up the middle. He got hit square in the chest, and those are the ones that take a toll on you. And in the fourth quarter or even later on in the season, if he goes four or five games like this, he might not make it through the season, and that's tough. I mean, we gotta shore that up. Now, hopefully, the guys playing together. I mean, you got Long and Sitton and Whitehair. They're playing together a little more. That'll cause that cohesiveness to come together, and they'll play a little better.
I thought after watching the tape, and Tom, I think you'd agree. I mean, the interior. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cody Whitehair did a nice job. I mean, there was not without some mistake, but it was a very good job by Cody Whitehair.
You know, a guy like Vince Wilfork, you're always going to be suspicious about his power coming at you. But Cody Whitehair had the speed to take that away from him. I thought he really did a nice job for starting week one as a center after having a limited amount of reps in the preseason. And like you know, every offensive lineman, the more reps they get, the more time they get to gel, the better they're going to become.
Typically, when you're, as a defensive lineman, you play DN now, and the older you get, you move in because you get slower. I mean, we put Whitehair. Whitehair played tackle in college. So, he played tackle. You move him in all the way in the center. Yeah, he's going to be quicker than anything in there. It's just going to be about the power. Does he have the power to stand up? Tough task having Wilfork in the first one, but as he goes on, he's going to learn from this.
And
as
he moves on, he'll be fine. Yeah, he'll be fine.
He's
got that country strong. He's got some mitts on him now that grab you. So you know about country strong.
I do.
You know about country strong.
I had a little bit of man.
Don't say anything about offensive line and grabbing. They get their hands inside the framework of the body, and they keep them open. You said grabbing.
I did not say grabbing. I did not. Well, go rewind the tape.
Right. Rewind the tape.
He's got a good grip. I didn't say grabbing. All right, let's flip the topic, too.
If you said grabbing, you're buying me lunch.
Let's talk about the defense of the Bears because it's an intriguing group of guys. They've got a blend of youth and experience there, and I'll tell you what. The linebackers delivered. Danny Trevathan with a sack and double-digit tackles. And Jarrell Freeman, who's always around the football and always has been in his career, 17-tackle performance. And that's what you're looking for out of those inside linebackers, fellas.
Trevathan, he led Denver in tackles last year. I believe
last
he did.
He led the SEC in tackles from Kentucky 2 years in a row. I know that rubs you the wrong way.
Kentucky's a Kentucky guy.
He's from
Leesville, Florida.
What, the Gators not to dip in the pool? What's the matter with them?
We missed on him.
Yes,
we missed on him. Yes, we did. So we missed on him. Jarrell Freeman, I think he's the same way. He's always around the ball. He's always getting tackles. But when you're on the field for 70-plus plays, yeah, you're going to have a lot of tackles. Get off on third down, and that's something that we got to get better at. We can't let teams continue to sustain drives like that. If we can get off the field, those tackles go down to 11, but I'm okay with 11. I mean, having 17 tackles, that's just a lot. I mean, it's not like he was all over the place, but he had a lot of opportunities because they were on the field too long.
Like you said, you're happy with 11. Okay, if he only has 11 tackles, I need the defensive line to contribute more in the tackle box. Mm-hmm. I think that they could have a nice rotation when they got Akeem Hicks and they got Eddie Goldman, they got Mitchell Ryan. But I think Jonathan Bullard and Cornelius Washington and the rest of the crew came in and gave some good reps. So I need to see the defensive line be more sturdy up front. If your linebackers are going to have a lot of tackles, that means the running backs get into the second level. Mm-hmm. So, again, as Vic Fangio starts to fine-tune his defense, more contribution from the total interior and defensive line linebacker will help out.
Well, don't get me wrong. I don't think they're going to be like our 05 team. But we started out that season 1-3, and it didn't look like we were headed in the right direction. But something clicked. I think it was more or less Mike Brown just kind of telling us how bad we were and how we sucked, and we kind of turned it around. But we had the talent, and I think they're getting more and more talent. They have a lot more talent this year on this team than they've had in previous years. So they just need to play more together, practice more together, and as it clicks and as it comes together, I think they'll be fine. I think we'll see a lot better team. That second half, I thought they played great. They shut down the run. Lamar Miller had, 84 yards in the first half. He had 22 yards in the second half. I mean, that's something where you can look at that as a positive and continue to
build. What will happen with Leonard Floyd from week one to week two? Is it something that the offense will slow down considerably, or is this something that week to week we're going to see growth out of a first rounder like that?
I think it's going to be the coaches. The coaches have to make sure they put him in good situations. I saw him out there on first down a lot. I don't think you need him out there on first down. I think he's second and long, third and long type of guy. Yes, can he bend the edge? He can bend the edge. He has speed. He has that explosiveness where you see him close. Like when he got that sack, and I do think he got the full sack. I know he's a Georgia guy. I'm helping him out here. You got the full sack.
You're taking it away from the Seminole.
Yeah,
sack from the Seminole. Eddie Goldman.
That's two.
This is like
two guys.
You can't hide yourself.
It's two guys. I don't really. Georgia, Florida State. So, but his explosiveness to the quarterback is great.
Edge turn is rare for guys like. There's not many guys that can bend like that, and he's got that.
I think he has it. I've seen flashes of it. I need to see it be more consistent. Yeah. But you just got to see him play. You got to see him play more and more. And when they take that away, what does he do?
How about your fellow Gator? Now, Jonathan Bullard, he snipped you there a little bit with the tackle for loss record of Gators, right? He got you. He got you by a half, didn't he?
No.
Yeah, I think so. One season, he got 18. You had 17 and a half.
We got to go Jonathan back to Bullard.
Go back to the tape. Go back to the tape. It's on record.
Wow.
Yeah, he got you. He nipped you.
It must be pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's really good.
Yeah, he is good. I think he's going to be a huge part of this defense moving forward. I mean, I don't know if I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to make 10 Pro Bowls, but I think he's going to be a vital part of this defense moving forward. I actually think he'll start mid-season this year. I think he's that good.
All right, this is a huge topic of conversation. What to do about the preseason, and is there an absolute need to have 4 preseason games? I know there's serious talk about it in New York at the NFL office. What to do? They're coming up with all kinds of plans, all kinds of ideas. I think the bigger question is how it impacts the financial component from the ownership point of view in the National Football League and having that 4th preseason game as players. What kind of ideas do you have to deal with the preseason?
Well, now that we've seen week 1 of the NFL season, what would 2 less preseason games do to the first week performance? And I think it'd be similar to what we saw this week. You know, I think the preseason is a little archaic because of the time invested in OTAs and the off-season work that you get around the facility. So I would be a big, you know, I would like to see 18 regular season games. I don't know if it'd be 1 preseason games a week off and then 18 regular season games. Something's got to change because as you sit there and you watch the 4th preseason game, nobody plays, the stands are empty. I think the fans want to see less than the 4 preseason games, and I think these guys could be active and maybe expand the roster by a few players to help out.
But we do want to see quality football too, right? I mean, we want to see good football now. And when you're talking about this archaic, well, we're not just playing every Sunday now. We're playing on Monday nights. We're playing on Thursday night. I mean, it's just back-to-back. And I don't think the guys are going to give you 18 regular season games of quality football if you put them out there like that. I really don't. I think your body just needs to heal, and I don't think they have time to. I know I didn't. I play on a Sunday, and I have to come back on a Thursday. I felt like crap.
Tell them what you did.
The fact that if you go out and play on Thursday, then you get yourself a little mini weekend off. So I kind of like the Thursday because you knew that you were going to go through the week and never practice in pads. You get ready, you play Thursday, win that game, and then you got a weekend off. See, I always looked at it as kind of a reward.
Yeah, that was after those 2 games. I'm looking at, like, to You're get through those 2 games. Games. I'm trying to get that Monday, I mean, that Sunday game that you practice all week, and now you got that Sunday game, and now you got to get to that Thursday game where you're basically living in the cold tub. You're living in a cold tub, living in a hot tub, trying to get right. You need a break. You need a break. That's my thing. You got to have a break.
And I'm also giving you 2 more game checks a year.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
But that's the thing.
Are they doing it? I don't know.
You're not going to get a preseason check for a regular season game if you're playing 18 games.
No, I'm not. But are they going to take that same, I mean, I'm going to just say a million. They're going to take that same $1 million and just, instead of splitting it into 16 weeks, just split that same $1 million into 18. Well, that's not right. I mean, I'm not getting paid anymore.
Your agent's not going to go out and negotiate the fee for Alex Brown that's playing 18 NFL games. He's not going in there negotiating a fee for 16 games.
True, but so not if I'm already in the middle of a 6-year contract. Like, he can't go back and do that.
That's a good point.
He's not going to be able to do that.
Very interesting math going on. An interesting rookie quarterback the Bears will face on Monday Night Football. His name is Carson Wentz. I think he surprised a lot of people. Now the evaluation process. It was against a pretty rough Cleveland Browns team right now. They certainly have a long way to go to be a competitive contender in the AFC. So what did you guys see from Carson Wentz? I saw a lot of good bootleg action. I saw a lot of good precision, nice passes when he needed to.
I saw that he loved Matthews. He loved him. Matthews. I mean, he gave him 14 targets in the game. I mean, the kid went over 100 yards. I mean, the NFL is weird, you know? NFL is really weird in the sense that it finds out what you love to do, and it takes it away. So as we keep, I mean, this week we'll find out something that he really liked doing, and we'll take it away. Now let's see if he can do something else. If he can, then he starts to become a true NFL quarterback because now you have to guess with him. And when you start guessing, then sometimes you're wrong.
Tom, what about the kid? What did you see?
Well, I think it's the perfect marriage for Carson Wentz to develop in the NFL. He's got a head coach who's a former quarterback that played for Don Shula, had experiences in Green Bay, played for Andy Reid. So he's got a lot of different levels of learning in the NFL that he can spill over to my young quarterback. And you see that with Carson Wentz. You're not going to take, Doug Peterson is not going to take Carson Wentz and put him into the most difficult offensive scenario behind center. He's going to have some easy run plays, some easy reads, and put him into a comfort zone and kind of force and kind of feed him a little bit more each week. So I think Carson Wentz is you know, biggest help is the fact that Doug Peterson is the new head coach in Philly.
Injury may have taken away Zach Ertz, though. He's got a displaced rib very close up on the first rib near his chest. Oof. And so they have to make sure he's medically cleared because it's not broken. However, if something should happen, it could affect his neck or head. That's how weird of an injury that one is. So they're going to keep an eye on that. The Eagles themselves, the big difference is that with the ex-coach, now 49ers head coach, they did not possess the ball. They wanted to hurry up. And so the last 3 years, the Eagles did not possess the ball, but 32nd in the National Football League. Last week, ironically, in their opener against the Browns, they possessed the ball for better than 39 minutes, the best in the National Football League in week one. So there's the big difference as we move forward now and break down the Eagles. They're not going to be the ex-Eagles anymore. They're going to be more like the Andy Reid Eagles because it's an Andy Reid-type offense and Andy Reid-type system with Peterson.
You know, I think the Eagles benefited from a really poor game plan by the Cleveland Browns. And so they weren't able to sustain anything offensively. The Eagles' defense played really well, and they got the ball back to the offense. And so I think that was one of the key contributors to the Eagles' offense performance was a poor game plan by the Cleveland Browns. And so, you know, that's what, you know, they can't, you know, the Bears have to have that game plan this week that's going to have sustained drives for the offense, keep themselves on the field, earn the time of possession that, you know, the Bears need offensively. So I think that can be the most helpful thing for the Bears is making sure that they have a sustained offensive game plan.
That's going to be a telling tale of the game, too, because we struggled on third downs as an offense. And the Philadelphia Eagles, they actually got off the field. Their defense got off the field on third down. I think they held Cleveland, and it is Cleveland, but just saying, they held them 2 of 10, like, on third down. So, like, they got off the field, and they got Fletcher Cox, you got Connor Baldwin, you got – I played with Malcolm Jenkins.
That's some bad man over there.
You toss a ball out there, and he's going to take it six. He's an athlete. I know he's from Ohio State, and I'm –
He must be getting older now.
But
if you played with him,
good.
He's still there.
He was young when I played with him. He was real young when I played with him. He's a really, really good player. So they got a lot of playmakers on that defense. We can't make mistakes. If we make mistakes, turn the ball over, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, they got Black Bar when he even got past Joe Thomas, who really, really, rarely gives up a sack.
He's solid.
And Fletcher Cox, he got a big payday. That's a bad man right there.
Yeah, he is.
I do enjoy watching him play football. Overall, with a new coach, you also get the unknown factor because Doug Peterson's never been a head coach in the National Football League. So is that enough evaluation of that one game, or are you saying that the tape was so poor on the Cleveland side of the ledger that you really don't know what the Eagles are?
Well, you know what the Eagles want to become, and you know what the strides they're going to take week in and week out. I don't think Doug Peterson's going to change because now he's playing the Bears and last week played the Cleveland Browns. He's only going to try to get his team better week one to week two. So I just expect those guys to follow the course they're following. But, you know, I have much bigger expectations of the Bears in week two at home than going down to a really hostile environment in Houston and trying to be organized, although they were organized on the line of scrimmage in Houston. So I want to see that development upgraded.
Well, I got to see some home wins. Last 3 years have not been good. The paying customer needs to feel the love from the other side of the fence here. And, you know, they've been a 500 team on the road the last 3 years, but at home have really struggled. And when you guys were playing at your best, and certainly when you, there's nothing like a home crowd in Chicago.
Nothing.
So you got to reward them a little bit here on Sunday, right? Monday
absolutely.
Night.
I agree. It's a lot of fun, especially on Monday night. Any primetime game, and you know all the Bear fans are going to be out and they're going to be ready to go. If we give them anything to cheer about, it's going to happen. I mean, just looking at the defense. I mean, the defense looks so much better than it did, let's say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, we gave up 100 yards, but we looked really good in that second half, I thought. Moving forward, if we can just continue to do that, find our identity. That's what we need. We need an identity. And if that's stopping the run, let's stop the run. And then we got some very talented guys on the edge. Then let's go get the quarterback. And then that'll help our secondary. I know we banged up a little bit in the secondary. That'll help us in the secondary. So, if we can do that, we'll be fine.
I heard some we's, some ours, and us's from Alex Brown.
Oh, yeah.
It's still in the blood.
Still real good.
It's still in the blood. He's
yes.
in the building. And
yes.
thanks for joining us.
No
we really
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your time.
Yes, anytime.
Well thought of right here to get this man on set, Alex Brown, one of my favorite Chicago Bears. Tom Thayer, my broadcast partner, guy who pounds lumps on me every day, probably will this week as well.
But not one of your favorites.
Thanks for joining us on Bears Talk this week. Stick around here from PNC Studio at Halisaw. We'll be with you every week breaking things down. Thanks for joining us.